The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Final hour, and we're going to find out more about the topic of the day, and that is NIL. Joe Goodman joining us. He's a sports columnist in Alabama for AL.com. Joe, great to have you on, as always. I know you've been covering the Milo Sweet Tea Caper. They chose Bo Nix, and now apparently they've found the other side of the state. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, you know, the balance has returned to the forest, definitely. They went out and they signed Malachi Moore today. Milo C did. So whenever Bo throws an interception in the Iron Bowl and Malachi Moore picks it off, then I guess we'll have the greatest moment in the history of Milo's Sweet Tea.
Now, Joe, can you give us some backstory on this? Because when Bo announced this on early Thursday morning, it got a lot of attention. And you know, do we know anything in relation to the terms? We're talking about it's not a local company. I mean, they distribute it in a lot of places, but it's still not exactly Nike or Under Armour either.
So Milo Sweet Tea, Paul, okay, are you ready for this? Is sold in 45 states in the United States of America, including Alaska and Hawaii. There are some states in the Northeast that do not sell Milo Sweet Tea, and I can only imagine the reasons why. Probably the sugar content.
Probably.
Of the beverage. I don't know the terms of the deal, okay? He's probably getting paid $1 million from Milo Sweet Tea as we speak right now. But this is great for college football. It's unlocked a different level of this sport that wasn't even there. It's only been less than 2 days, and already we have rivalries breaking out over brands. I just think this is just going to enrich the sport that much more.
Well, for those who are critical of it, and you know there are many, I'm interested in your last statement. Expound on that, if you don't mind.
College football did not collapse into the sea today. I mean, everything is going to be okay. I've gotten so many emails about the end of the world in college football. You know, everything is going to be all right. We're still here today. You know, there's been so many doomsday proclamations, and, you know, obviously a lot of it is politically driven. I don't really care about any of that. I mean, all I care about is the sport of college football. And from my perspective, the fact that these athletes are just now front and center in, you know, even more so the culture of America is only good for the sport. And it's only good for the universities that they represent. There's no other way you can look at it, in my opinion.
Well, I that's fair. And, you know, you're an opinion columnist, so your opinion matters more in your column than anyone else's. But I am curious. I mean, that's a very Sherman-esque response. In terms of what you've heard on the negative side, those criticisms that you don't care about, I mean, you do understand them, don't you?
Of course. Yeah, I do. And I've talked to a lot of former college athletes who are in the pros who have also voiced some of those same concerns, okay, about money getting to athletes' heads, you know, different things like this corrupting the sport. But here's what everyone has to remember, okay? To get to this level of elite athleticism and school, okay, because you have to qualify to go to college, all right, you have to put in a lot of work. And now you're going to give these guys money and you're going to make them, you're going to give them value on what they're doing. All of a sudden, it's going to destroy the entire sport? No, it's just going to make it that much more professional, in my opinion. Now, I know professional is such a bad word. Oh, my God, it's an amateur sport. College football has been professional for decades, okay? But only a finite amount of people have been making the money. Now that money is being distributed to the people who are actually doing the work. Don't give me any of this crap nonsense about people being against that. Because America, which we were celebrating on this weekend, okay, is about people making money. And that's what these college athletes are doing.
Okay. If I could go back to what you said here. Who are the finite number of people who have been making money in college athletics? I'm assuming you're referring to the coaches?
Yes, the coaches, the athletic directors, the conference commissioners, the president of the NCAA. I mean, okay, I read something yesterday. I don't remember where it was. I think it was from the Wall Street Journal. Okay, and it said, like, of all the billions of dollars that college athletics create, you know, like only 7% of that money goes back into enriching the college athlete to actually create that wealth. All right. And that's in the form of Nick Saban calling up Inland Seafood and spending $150,000 on crab legs for one recruiting weekend. Okay. Who really cares about any of that nonsense? Let these kids get paid.
Talking to Joe Goodman here with AL.com. Joe, obviously the University of Alabama must be doing something right in recruiting, whether it's seafood flown in from the Gulf or not. I mean, they have dominated recruiting. So you don't think it has to do with the quality of the crabs flown in?
Listen, it always has to do with the quality of the crabs. Okay. And if you're going to eat seafood, it needs to come from the Gulf of Mexico, all right? Everyone needs to understand that the shrimpers in Mobile Bay and off of Mississippi River are the best in the world, all right? But when the coach of Alabama and the coach of LSU are spending that much money on protein, all right, for a recruiting weekend, and that's not an exaggeration, okay? That is, I promise you, that's not. When they're spending that much money because they have to, all right, something is wrong. The players need to be making that money, okay? And that's kind of what's happening here. Some financial balance is returning to – or not returning. It's finally being established in college athletics. And I think from 10,000 feet, what's going to happen is – there's going to be reform in the NCAA because the wealth is going to be redistributed. And I think that's going to help the athletes. And I think that's also going to help other schools, not just the major schools.
Joe Goodman with it. Joe, I'm curious what you think of those who say the schools, I mean, they are putting the bill for the stadiums and the infrastructure. They are paying the insurance, the maintenance. They're also, and this is where a lot of people cringe, but they're also providing scholarships to these young men and women. I know you've heard that a million times. I'm sure you've seen it on your Twitter feed and probably will see it again after tonight. How do you respond to those people?
I'm a huge advocate for higher education, okay? At the end of the day, that's the most important thing, all right? But at the same time...
So it's not making money for the players making money, like you said a minute ago?
No, at the same time, as Brett Kavanaugh pointed out in his concurring opinion of the Supreme Court, all right, there needs to be some kind of profit sharing that goes along to these players, okay? I mean, it's not really that hard to understand. In the NFL, in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, there is this profit sharing. And that's great. You pay the bills for the lights. It's a business. That's how you operate a business. If you want the talent to continue to play, you play them what they're worth.
But didn't you just get through saying you thought college athletics was professional anyway?
We all know it's a charade. I mean, come on. We all know that college athletics has been a business forever. I mean, you think Paul Feinbaum is working for free?
No, I don't.
Jim is working for free?
I don't think anybody thought I was. I may be a good idea. Then I can claim I'm doing this for because I love it and not because I'm trying to make a living.
Yeah, of course we love it. All right, but the point is everyone's been making money except the athletes, and now it's time for the athletes finally to make some money.
Well, Joe, as of yesterday, that is exactly what is happening. So we appreciate you joining us. It's always fun. You be well. You take care of yourself. And we are coming right back. We'll get some reaction to what Joe had to say a minute ago. And we will do that right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And it is that time of the year when various schools take over days tomorrow. It begins with takeover Saturday. I think Alabama has the first shot. And what a week it's been. We're going to reflect back for just a moment before we get to your calls on what an amazing week it has been. Ross Dellinger was one of our featured guests earlier.
You have two things going on. You have all of these athletes, even the smallest players at the smallest schools, even those without big social media followings, getting in a little bit on the action, you know, making maybe $50, $100 here. And so it's incredible to see all these athletes get deals and sometimes group deals. The second part of this is you have the chaos, which isn't in the players. It's at the schools. And the NCAA had so long, right, to create rules and set standards. And they waited the last minute and charged the schools with creating their own rules. And that's left them scrambling.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Many more guests, including Brandon Windbush, the former Notre Dame quarterback, talking about NIL.
I wasn't a national level, caliber quarterback that may have been able to garner some of these national level brand deals like the Trevor Lawrence's, who we keep, referencing here. So I think for myself and putting myself back in the shoes of when I was playing at Notre Dame, I think I would have done a really good job of garnering those localized Midwest type deals where a lot of the economic activity is driven by Notre Dame athletics and being the quarterback there. A lot of the deal flow would have, flowed obviously through that position.
One of the best interviews we have had in a long time came from a current Tennessee wide receiver.
I think it's going to expedite just life skills, financial skills, basic stuff these kids would learn after ball. I think it's going to expedite it by 10 years, 10, 15 years of what they're going to learn in the real world about how to conduct business, how to conduct themselves, and how to present themselves and market themselves to an audience a lot larger than them, but also people that want to work with them.
And finally, as we reflect back on the week, Mario Cristobal joining us yesterday talking about the CFP, what would it mean to his program?
All in all, I think it's awesome. I think the more people get the opportunity, the better. It'll create a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, and a lot of opportunities. And you just never know, right? We pride ourselves on being a tough sport, physicality, mental and physical toughness, all that stuff. But for a long time before the playoffs, we allowed ourselves to crown a champion through a poll system. Finally got to a playoff, and that's been working really well. And the expansion, heck, it might even do even more for the sport. So I'm all for it, Paul. I think it's a great idea.
And we are back to the calls, and James is up next. Hello, James.
Paul, we've made it through another week.
We have.
Here's what I'm going to share with you. I know you've heard this one. I'm not coining a phrase here. Money is the root. The love of money is the root of all evil. You ever heard that one before, Paul?
Not in a while, but I do remember somebody warning me about that.
I see two things converging right now. This so-called, I don't even like what it's called. Also, not that it matters what I like, but when you say that something is politically motivated in this country, I think I understand what he's talking about.
Would you explain that? Because that was the one thing I didn't understand Goodman saying, and I didn't want to waste a lot of time on it.
Well, from sitting right here in the kitchen, okay?
Okay.
In this cane bottom chair that my mother rescued from the garbage heap some 40-some-odd years ago, maybe 50. Of course, we had to put the cane bottom back in it, okay, Paul? I think what he meant there, and the reason I'm telling you that story is, I think he means conservative people, those people that are fiscally conservative, see this as a bad thing, as so-called opening the Pandora's box, as we keep hearing on this program and other places. I think he is not necessarily misguided, but to think that this is going to be even-handed and across the board, where your centers and your back up this or that are making any money at all in comparison to Bo Nix that comes out of the gate with one of the first what seems like so-called contracts. And second thing I saw, in other words, he's thinking that more Republicans, people on that side of the fence or side of the aisle are more concerned about this.
I have broken the code now. I'm sorry. I was a little bit slow.
I feel like you follow that. This the same.
Well, once 5 o'clock came, I started drinking heavily, and I just I was fixing a martini while he was saying that.
And since I'm so egocentric, I just thought it was because you saw my name on the board.
I'm sure that was it. Hey, thanks, James. Rabbit is up next. What do you got, Rabbit? Rabbit, are you there?
Sorry.
Yeah, you're on the air, Rabbit. Go right ahead.
All right, brother. What's up?
Hey there.
I just want to say I think paying to play is ain't going to happen.
Why not?
Sir? Well, they already get enough to start with.
Right.
That's my opinion. But you, sir?
So what do you mean they already get enough?
Well, they get no education.
Right.
Free rights. I mean, you know, come on with it.
So you're saying that athletes get an education, room and board,
yeah,
however
they
that
get all the food they want to eat.
All the food.
All the girls they need to see. I mean, you know, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a price tag on that.
Yeah, I mean, ain't no price tag on that. What I think Mr. Paul Feinbaum is that they are going to mess college football up.
They're going to what?
I mean, they're going to mess college football up.
How is that?
Well, they're going to play 1 year and go pro.
Well, right now in college football, you can't do that. Now, it doesn't mean it will always be that way, but you still have to be there.
Yes, sir.
You can't leave after 1 year.
Well, okay. Well, I didn't understand that part.
That's okay.
But I don't really understand what they get enough now. You play college football to get to the pros, right?
Well, Rabbit, you live in Alabama, right?
Yes, sir. I live in Talladega, in Childersburg, Alabama. Yes, sir.
Childersburg?
Yes, sir. Childersburg, in Talladega, right across the Coosa River Bridge.
Yeah, I know. I've been to Childersburg. It's a great town. I've spoken at your high school before. It's a great high school.
Well, actually, I'm from Shelby County, but I live in Childersburg now.
You said you're from Shelby County?
Yes, sir. I graduated from Vincent High School.
Okay, well, I used to live in Shelby County, but I used to.
And I'm Alabama stupid.
Yeah, I used to live in North Shelby, but anyway, that's beside the point. My point being.
Yes, sir.
And I'm trying to remember my point after you told me where you were from, but you.
Yes, sir.
You have to remember something, though. Okay. I asked you if you lived in Alabama for this reason. The Alabama law right now, the state legislature passed a bill signed by the governor that makes this legal.
Yes, sir.
So whether you like it or not, and you're certainly entitled not to, it is legal for players at Auburn and Alabama and everywhere else to make money off of their image and likeness.
Yes, sir. I understand that part. But you play college football to get to the pros. The way I understand it.
Well, that may be true, but all I'm saying is that it is legal to do it where you live. That was my only rejoinder to that. But thank you very much. Logan is up next. Logan, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Happy 4th of July weekend. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. So, in terms of the name and image and likeness, my ideas have changed over time. I used to be against it, but now realizing that, you know, football players have to stay there for 3 years or 3 seasons of eligibility, it's really not fair to them not to be able to be compensated for their time and their likeness and the money they bring into the university. So I'm totally on board with this. My only concern, as usual, though, would be the NCAA has had enough time to figure this out. It's not like this is a new thing coming down the road. And it seems like they've already totally messed this up. So I'm concerned about violations. I know schools like Alabama, you know, Ohio State are on top of that stuff. But we do have these other universities out there that have already shown they don't know how to – they're terrible with compliances, like LSU. So – I'm just concerned of what you think about that and how.
Well, Logan, I think that is probably, if players make money, that's great. I mean, I'm probably not celebrating it like VE Day like Joe Goodman. I think it's fantastic, but I probably have higher. There are things on my the list that are going to excite me more than he was, but I don't think there's any template for compliance and. That is just going to invite the sleaziest of the sleazeballs to cheat even more than they're probably already cheating, and that is a concern.
That's my biggest concern. I mean, you know, especially for the first couple of years as it goes on, it's going to be really hard to tell, you know, how it's going, and I'm just afraid some people are going to get in trouble. You know, maybe some honest kids that just don't do the right thing, maybe they don't pay their taxes, but I feel like they're probably going to get in trouble. You know, over something like this, just because the NCAA has just been, you know, just never been around. They're letting down their side of the deal.
Hey, thank you very much, Logan. It is great to hear from you. Have a great weekend, and we will take a break. Much more to come in the final 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Joe is up next in Tennessee as we close it out here on a Friday afternoon. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Paul. Second time call, but what I was talking about the NIL and all of these, I always think of the big time boosters over the years. I'm 74 years old. Major colleges always put money into them. What is going to stop them now and being legal by putting money into, not into the school, but with their companies, endorse that young player to urge him in a wink of an eye, whatever they may call it, to go to the major school?
Thank you, Joe. I don't know. I mean, I think it's one thing to be in favor of this. It's another thing to be concerned about some of the unintended consequences. But I'm not sure there's much you can do. And I think most people will be reasonable. But you know, you don't know what kind of shifty characters you're going to have here. And that I think that has to be a concern, where you get some shady businessman, and you know he gets his hooks into some player. If the worst thing that happens is it gets them to go to a school, I could probably live with that, but that's not my biggest concern. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's continue and check in with Ben. I'm sorry. Let me go to Fuller, who is up next. Hey, Fuller, go right ahead.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, Paul. I think a lot of what we're looking at with this NIL is the failure of the NCAA to show any leadership on this situation at all. I truly believe this could have been avoided, and now we're in the wild west of the NIL, and I think that's going to be a problem, and we're going to have to see how this plays out over time before we know if it's a success or a failure. I agree. You can't have a billion-dollar industry and not pay the people making the money and on the bottom line, but this could be a real problem.
Yeah, and, Filler, if you go back 5 or 10 years, I mean, you could have come up with an equitable way that, you know, they may not have been rich, but they could have at least gotten something out of it. But you had hypocrites like the president of the NCAA who just kept pounding his fist saying, we will not have professional athletics. It will be amateur over my dead body. He's still alive right now, and players are making money.
Right. Right. You can't stick your head in the sand over this issue because it was coming, and it was evident to everybody in the college football world that this was coming. You cannot have a billion-dollar industry and not pay the folks making the money. That's ridiculous to think. Now it comes down to how do we structure this moving forward to continue the great college football we have today and not go into – pro football. That's what I look at.
Well said. David is up next in Houston. David, thank you, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Just wanted to bring up, it's been around for such a long time, if you can remember the Pony Express.
Oh, Craig James. I sure can.
Absolutely. It's been around in the 90s. The big deal was
they were the best they were the most expensive backfield in college football history.
Absolutely. And, you know, they will neither confirm nor deny, if I remember correctly. But
yeah.
In the 90s, it was internships, kids not showing up for work, or they show up and check in a T-shirt and shorts and then leave for the day. And it's about time they do receive some recognition for what they give to the schools. But like the gentleman just said before, you're going to have the alumni showing up and saying, hey, we've got a guaranteed $1 million sale for you if you sign with our school. So all the money has got to be passed through the school and accounted for somehow, some way.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't see any signs of that happening, David. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
Well, thank you.
I was just thinking, as Nick Saban might say, maybe this might be rat poison for the players. All of a sudden, they're starting to make this money. All of a sudden, they're starting concentrating on making more money. And they start forgetting maybe a little bit what happened at practice. They're going home. They're checking their computers. They're talking to all kind of folks. And next thing you know, they're playing. Maybe the game suffers. You know, there's a lot of players right now opting out of championship games because they're going to make this money. So it makes me wonder if maybe the money don't become more important than the way they play.
Well, Mike, I think you just have to be realistic. And, you know, we're talking about 17 to 22-year-old young men in most of the cases.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what's interesting is, I mean, what usually affects a person of that age? It's problems with relationships. Now it's going to be, how am I doing financially? I mean, it's something that helps prepare you later for life, but at that age, you are balancing your education, your friends, you know, new experiences, and football.
And you know how that affects people. I mean, you
absolutely.
Know, it affects people when they absolutely start getting a better job. Well, the next thing you know, they don't have time for this.
No, of course.
They don't have, maybe not showing up for the weight room. Maybe, you know, it just makes you wonder when that money is in your lap.
Well, and Mike, one more thing. How many times have you heard a coach talk about, you know, we have them on an exhaustive schedule? I mean, they go from lab to class to practice to working out to meetings. And
now we're fixing to throw all this in.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I mean, it is exciting. And I'm happy to see these young people, you know, be able to get something, but you know, it's a matter of balance, and those who balance it better than others are going to win. And again, you go back to, you know, what made Nick Saban so successful in COVID? Well, he didn't let it affect him. He had a plan in March, and he executed that plan while other coaches were scrambling at home trying to figure out how to communicate with their coaching staff. And it's not going to be any different here. Hey, thank you very much for the call. And let's check in with John, who is up next. Hey, John, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. You know, your previous caller talked about the money affecting things. Man, do you remember the Florida bowl game?
Yes.
My goodness, wasn't that the worst thing you've ever seen in your life?
It was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. Yes.
It's horrible. You know, and that obviously that's something we've got to figure out. But you know. You said it before, Paul. It's a constitutional right to be paid for your name, image, and likeness. There's no question this should have happened years ago. Now, I'll say this. Do I trust the NCAA's ability to regulate this across the board? No way. They do not have a clue. You know, everything they have is about keeping people from getting paid. Now, how are they going to flip that and get into the entrepreneurial business of allowing players to make money off of their fame from the schools? You know, I don't think that they'll understand it. Now, the Alabamas, Ohio States, the Texas, they're probably already thinking about building an in-house agency. You know, they're probably already thinking outside the box of how to use this, you know, to their advantage. But, you know, do I trust the NCAA? No way. And for the callers that are calling and saying, you know, they're getting room and board, they're getting all the food they can handle, you know, man, that sounds something very similar to what a slave master would have said, you know, in the 1800s. You get paid for your work. That's what's right. And Paul, you know me, I've booked you for many things throughout the years for events. And I always say this in the entertainment industry especially, the money always balances out. Eventually, people get paid what they're worth. And things have to break. Things have to happen like this. But eventually, this was going to happen, and it needed to happen. And, you know, the NCAA needs to wake up.
And John, you also understand, being in that industry, you know, players may be making money today. They may not be making it in 6 weeks. These companies, whether it's the Sweet Tea Company or somebody else, I mean, they have to meet a payroll just like you do and just like my bosses. And they care about one thing, production and return on investment.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine how much money Dion would have made in college with his Neon Dion program?
No, it's I mean, you just go back in this part of the country, you know, from Bo Jackson to Cam Newton to Tebow to Dion. And somebody asked me the other day, can you imagine? I say this, you know, with great affection for Kenny Stabler, but can you imagine the bars in Gulf Shores that Kenny could have been representing?
Exactly. You know, there's going to be players that are entrepreneurial, and you know, imagine even Johnny Manziel. Man, Johnny would have made millions of dollars.
Yeah, he would have done extremely well.
To do it, you know. But I think this could be a great thing for college football. We've got to do it the right way. And the NCAA, like I said, needs to wake up and hire the best people in the world who understand how to manage this and how to agent this appropriately, or it will get out of hand. So have a great fourth weekend, Paul, and appreciate the show.
John, hope to see you soon. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We have a few minutes remaining before we officially head into the 4th of July weekend. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.